Fondation Radio. Our society has been wrecked by economic improprieties, political maneuvers, moral decadence, and debasing sociocultural practices. In the face of these vices, which have kept our society at the brink of collapse, constructive information remains the deal breaker. Join our formidable team of reporters on News Extra with incisive investigative reporting and analysis tailored to reshape our society and give it a moral face. News Extra is a production of the news service of Foundation Radio that uncovers striking societal concerns and demystifies them. Get the deepest understanding about economic, political, and sociocultural issues in News Extra. News Extra, your window to constructive criticism.
Hello there, I am Mokun Johnny Nelson with another edition of News Extra on Foundation Radio FM 100. We are broadcasting from Bamenda in the northwest region of Cameroon. In this program, you have news, commentaries, interviews, and analysis on important local and international happenings. Stay tuned. The ongoing conflict over the management of the Kumbu Water Authority in the northwest region of Cameroon may escalate into disproportionate proportions if urgent solutions are not taken. Apparently a community project, it is now, unfortunately, tearing the Sor people apart. While the traditional authority, headed by Fonsen Binlo, feels that they should keep on pulling the shots, as has been the case for over half a century, the local government, the council, curiously headed by Nsor man, Mayor John Donatos, poses that the authority should be theirs, and so the deadlock. The Nsor man believes in people's power. And since the power is incarnated in the phone, they believe that the phone is infallible. He is the people's power. And so, following the deadlock in negotiations between the council and the fundum, and with persistent rumors that an unwanted and dreaded third party, government, through its water corporation, may step in and take control over the management of the Kumbu Water Authority, the Sor people, in their characteristic style, on Friday, August 19, 2016, decided to take their destiny into their hands. In defiance of frightening and threatening troop presence, they gathered in the Fon's palace. An imposing Fonsen Binlo addressed them through an interpreter. He is alleged to have said, I'm quoting, I have now been told that this water that we have been managing for over 40 years belongs to government. I have equally heard that I am stubborn. This water belongs to the Sor people and will continue to be the property of the Sor people. From this moment, all Sor people should buy pipes and install water in their homes free of charge. The governor and the SDO have invited me at short notice. Since they say I am stubborn, I won't step out of this palace again for any meeting. I will die in this palace. End of quote. Of recent, Northwest crowns have become clowns, selling their people and fundums for cheap mammoth envelopes to people of dubious and unscrupulous character. While we pray for a quick resolution of the crisis, the attitude of Fonsen Binlo on Sor is reminiscent of grass field fawns and fawndoms of old, and a lesson to the other fawns. This is News Extra on Foundation Radio. We usually start our package with a review of news of the week ending. We are not deviating from that tradition today, as Lem Sandra Fomujang now presents News Extra's Week in Retrospect.
In the Northwest region, over 10 secondary schools operating illegally have closed down, according to the Ministry of Secondary Education, and shall those only reopen after they must have complied to the ministry's terms. The regional delegate of secondary education, Mumbaku Victor, has thus called on parents to be watchful as they enroll their children this academic year. The senior divisional officer for Mezam, Songa Pierre Rene, has been cautioned by Mezam parliamentarians, district chairs, divisional coordinators and the SDF regional chair to convene a meeting with Elecam officials. Artists in the region met at the Dreamland Bar in Bamenda in a musical concert. One of their objectives of the show, amongst others, was to create a oneness and togetherness amongst the Northwest artists. Out of the region, 73 private schools operating illegally have been banned by the Ministry of Secondary Education and will not operate this 2016-2017 academic year, due to the violation of modalities needed in opening an academic institution. The Ministry of State Properties, Surveys and Land Tenure has propped into concerns of citizens as to the possible and less complicated acquisition of land titles in the country. The difficulties and complications were blamed on multiplicities of actors in the chain, as well as different interpretations of text by the law and ministry delegates. Some over 150 artists from Cameroon and abroad started showcasing their works of art at the International Caricature Festival in Yaoundé. It focused on building national peace and unity and promoting art in fighting societal ills in the country. The mother of the baby that miraculously survived after 5 days of abandonment was apprehended by officials of the Munya police station. The woman, Christy Achiri, took the baby to an uncompleted building after birth. Two men were arrested in connection with the rising suspicious ritual killings in the nation's capital of Yaoundé during the weekend. They were arrested by officials of the Kolbisong neighborhood. More than 8 women have been killed in that area with their bodies mutilated. On to obituary, the former Delegate General for National Security, Pierre Minglo Mejo, died in Yaoundé after a brief illness. It was during his reign in office that Cameroonians were issued the first computerized national identity cards. He died at the age of 86. Out of Cameroon, the former Vice President of South Sudan, Riek Machar, left the country weeks after his forces were involved in deadly clashes with government troops in the capital of Juba. He successfully relocated to safety in a neighboring country. A Nigerian schoolgirl from Chibok, who was rescued from Boko Haram, said she misses the father of her baby, who is a suspected Boko Haram Islamist militant. Gabon has banned traveling by night on the main national road after an accident on Saturday night that left 17 people dead. Incumbent President Edgar Lungu of Zambia has been declared winner of the last week's presidential election. Some opposition parties, however, have declared the election as a sham which does not reflect the will of the people. In sports, Manji FC of Bafut carried home the 250,000 francs cash prize after trashing Mambu FC 3-0 at the 2016 Bafut Mayor Football Cup Finals. Two-times Olympic gold medalist Françoise Bango Etone has blamed the Cameroonian government for the poor performance and the defeat of athletes at the ongoing Rio Games, saying the athletes were simply handpicked. The government of Cameroon has completed and signed a 139 billion francs deal with some two Italian companies for the construction of a 60,000 seating capacity sports complex in Yaoundé. Former FIFA president João Havelange has died at the age of 100. The Brazilian sportsman was predecessor to Sepp Blatter at the world's football governing body, serving from 1974 to 1998. And those were some of the major events that made news this week.
Thank you very much, Lem Sandra, for setting the pace. President Paul Biya has opted to go in for some real ambitious projects: hydroelectric dams, stadiums, roads, laptops. Unfortunately, he seems to have no money in his pocket, and so, in a near desperate move to catch up with what he may have failed to do for over 34 years in power, he has decided to go borrowing billions of francs CFA from so-called goodwill donors. But as Lanza Vela insinuates in the following paper, President Paul Biya may just have mortgaged the future of this nation.
According to economic experts, there are fears that the rate at which the Cameroonian government is borrowing could lead to a total collapse of the national economy. It is argued that Cameroon's national debt is rising to a very discomforting level, an indicator that the country's economy would collapse subsequently if emergency measures are not implemented in the short term. And accompanying this irksome borrowing rate are blames on politicians for mismanaging the economy. We had been given a new lease of life in the early 2000s when the International Monetary Fund, IMF, made a 100% cancellation of our debts, and it was our responsibility to manage our fiscal affairs prudently and with the utmost care. Not long after, our state officials threw caution to the winds, and we are going back to our old culture. But expectations for a debt relief dividend in the form of higher current spending and unwise borrowing could undermine fiscal sustainability if not managed prudently. The major worry now is whether we are unable to finance our projects with funds generated by our economy without necessarily depending on loans and bailouts from foreign governments and bodies. The answer is very evident. The way we spend our financial resources tells the future generation to lower its sight. For example, state officials run multi-million service cars, and the budget allocated for their fuel allowances shocks anyone who stumbles on the figures. And that Cameroon spends more than it earns means incurring huge debts, a thing that now looks inevitable. A report by the World Bank and the IMF says Cameroon currently is the most indebted country in Francophone Africa. It's not the first time the World Bank and IMF are raising concerns about Cameroon's spiraling public debts, which they fear could push the country back to the rank of heavily indebted poor countries. Under the circumstances, the question that faces us as citizens is how do we inculcate the culture of financial discipline among our elected leaders, knowing very well that their inability to manage the country's fiscal affairs has been the bane of our problems and the cause of our poverty and underdevelopment. Cameroon should have a non-partisan law that forbids any government from borrowing excessively, without which future generations will have a daunting economic war to fight.
Really, Vela, one keeps on wondering where funds generated from our own economy and resources go to. Joseph Besala was a boxer and the first sportsman to offer Cameroon an Olympic medal. He was never given the treatment of his status and died in oblivion. Jean-Paul Lacono gave this country its greatest all-time honor in any competition. He won gold at the Sydney Olympic Games as coach of the Olympic Football Lions. But for the largesse of the likes of Samuel Etofis, the disgraceful treatment Jean-Paul Akono received from the Cameroonian authorities would have sent him to the land of his ancestors. The same fate befell triple jump Olympic champion Francoise Bango, who, in her frustration, found solace in France as a second home. Christopher Fogwe is of the view that Cameroon authorities have fallen far short of providing the enabling environment for youths to prosper and feel proud, patriotic, and committed, even when over a billion francs CFA have been squandered on the 2016 Rio Olympic Games, from which they emerged with their tails between their legs.
Another 1.3 or so billions have been squandered on an ill-prepared bunch of lackeys, arbitrarily selected to go on an expensive sightseeing trip to Rio de Janeiro under the guise of participating in the 2016 Olympics. Proof is that nobody, and I mean nobody, has returned from there with a single medal. Cameroon will probably, if at all, be remembered merely as one of the most colorful delegations to grace the occasion, clad in their prestigious Northwest regional regalia, the togos. But how many Northwesterners whose togos were being flaunted were actually present and active in the delegations? Your guess is as good as mine. People of our region, one question that must be asked is this. Have Cameroonians from all the subdivisions and regions been given the opportunity to participate in the training and the preparations leading to selecting candidates who merit their places in the national and international sports competitions? How can one explain why the people of the Northwest region, who excel year in, year out in endurance and stamina-driven sports such as the mountain race and the other long-distance races, how come that they never feature in some of the marathon and long-distance competitions out of the country? Are the ministries in charge of youth and sports affairs equal opportunity ministries? Have they showed proof of being committed to the national decentralization drive? And even if they were objective in selecting candidates on the basis of merit, did they place them on a regime of preparation and training that could guarantee success? Obviously not. There are 4 years between Olympics. In between them are the Nations Cup and World Cup competitions, to name just those. But time and time again, Cameroon has always been caught napping and to scramble into helter-skelter last-minute preparations for each of the events. All too often, the ill-prepared candidates that get selected are favorites of officials, not candidates who merit their places in the selection. This series of fiascos are but evidence of the incompetence and lack of integrity of the racket of sports officials that parade our corridors of power as experts in sports. Another question that must be raised is this. Why is it that the generations of the Millers, Abegas, Mbomas, Besalas, and the Charlotte Bangos, on whom much less was spent, turned out to be far more prolific in terms of honors, medals, glory, and other kinds of prestige that they won for Cameroon than this generation of android lackeys who seem to be very short on patriotism? It is very clear that Cameroon authorities don't seem to learn many lessons from the series of defeats, misadventures, bunglings, and consequent frustrations and shame that they have accumulated for our nation, especially for our confused and bewildered youths. Success has become rare and far-fetched to our nation, which once had its glory days. The situation can get even worse in the present world of very stiff competitions, one in which the scouting for talent and preparation for heroic performance is incorporated into all levels of education. It is imperative for Cameroon to start preparing our youths for future successes in all domains, especially sports, right in the primary school. It is equally imperative that our leaders show proof of decency, honesty, and fair play in the way they conduct themselves.
This is the house beyond the hills and valleys of Bamenda. We bring you the best, lots of music, news, sports, and entertainment just for your relaxation. Foundation Radio. I like it. Foundation Radio, the voice of the voiceless. Foundation Radio, la voix de sans voix.
I believe that if I were having a tête-à-tête with the president, and it's depending on the issues at stake, because as somebody who is controlling people, I have come to realize that there's a lot done in the name of leaders without the knowledge of the leaders. And the leaders, they give their commands with all good intentions, but their collaborators at other levels take those things and do their own things the way they do. And so sometimes the blame is not about the president, but the blame is about those whom he has assigned to do what they are supposed to do. But the unfortunate thing is that if the people you have assigned act wrongly, then you are responsible because you did not choose the right persons. However, I wouldn't believe that the way the country is going, the president is not aware of what is happening. Because the truth is that in Cameroon, while we say we should live and let live, we know that the majority of people are barely struggling to make ends meet. Roads get bad, and until the roads become unbearable, unpassable, nobody does anything. Sometimes it is so bad until if the people react, then that is when we do something. We have not learned the culture of being proactive and to nip the issues in the bud. We always wait until when it gets out of hand. Sometimes things happen and then we come out to give press release to counter them and so on, like the Monique affair in La Cantini and things like that. It's painful for us to see the way our nation is being run. And that is why every morning we are giving hope to people, telling people the right perspective, the right way to do things so that eventually, someday, things will get better.
Nigerian goods flood most markets in Cameroon nowadays. The Northwest region shares borders with Nigeria, and so goods from both countries can cross into each other legally or clandestinely. However, the opening of the Bamenda-Mamfe-Ekok Road has made things easier for traders. Smart business persons from the two countries are making gains. Nigerian products now flood Bamenda markets. Priscilla Ninge has been investigating people's attitude towards this trend and presents her findings.
The opening of the Bamenda-Enugu corridor, a huge step in business transactions and negotiations, not to talk of the speed of importation between the two countries, Nigeria and Cameroon, has left so many people bombarded with mixed feelings. Be it in relation to the fact that food crops produced in Cameroon quickly disappear across the borders, or the fact that there is a huge influx of Nigerian products into Bamenda and at much lower prices than what is being produced in Cameroon. Though the incoming goods like Ovaltine, egusi, maggi, milk and beverages, just to name a few, might not be appreciated by some local producers as it leads to a drop in their turnover, some vendors and businessmen who are already into the business have nothing but praises for the more profits they incur.
Concerning this line for Nigeria, we petit traders will buy for Cameroon when they sell again no gain. But now they're open, we go buy what you can sell again now. We don't be in a wholesale, we'd make retail and wholesale. They sell again some small thing, at least.
But say no matter say Nigerian goods and cheap, but some people prefer the Cameroon owns because they have quality. They prefer them no matter their dear. Like this this can matter. In town they say 8250. But when we give you 350-400, they don't buy. Say they say it's cheaper now. It's 350 that they say it. But normally say 8500 for a can matter.
People don't complain about the goods. The goods have been nice. No money complain.
I think it's a good initiative. And everybody that is in his or her normal senses should embrace that. So, because in Cameroon, we have never seen a day when things are going down or things are moderate for the common consumer. So with the inflow of Nigerian products, I think it's a great relief both to the urban people and the people in the rural area. The profit that will come out from a Nigerian product will definitely.
The business people may be the one who bring the goods into the country, but it still takes a mother or father to derive satisfaction or not from what he or she has purchased. Reason why, we sampled opinions of some people who have used these imports alongside the Cameroonian ones to get a take on the quality and quantity.
Different for the able with the work and for the be the same.
So no difference, no day.
And no different for the.
Then the other thing already you buy and so high day.
Well, other thing where would they dream for house here? Now begin their part, the buy and bring them. I don't know whether Cameroon or Nai or Nigeria or because with the buy all thing with the buy. Oh, whether the worker sell for market with the buy. And in fact, this is a good she had not she no different from the one for Cameroon. And they be the call able diff a Gucci, but this one I did their come you the chop I'm the same way you come in there the same different as I the cook. All thing now for cook, all thing no before same more we could look and for them. We neglect. And nobody she different there.
Spaghetti, I don't buy them around once. The sardine, I don't use them once. So the flavor of the things they were combined in Malaysia is a good product. For the egusi from the brown one, I get order. Then there are two types. So we the white one order. So the brown one I get order. We you know we cook soup. Then if you get the appetizer for each other. So that is different than for egusi. Before the spaghetti and the sardine, I don't get no problem.
Bought the egusi, came and prepared it, but it has a certain sense, but that is not really a problem. Because it's just wash it. Because the egusi is really dirty. There's sand inside. If you don't wash it, you will not be able to eat it. Then like these canned drinks, the canned maltas, the quality is not good. You want to realize it, the inside of the can is rotten. Yes. So I think that's the only problem I've realized about it.
Satisfied or not, the fact remains that the borders are open and the choice is left to individuals to decide on their preferences. So no blame is allocated to high prices of Cameroonian goods or low quality of Nigerian products. Remember, the choice is yours.
The choice is certainly as the consumers, Priscilla Ninge. Voter registration for 2016 ends on August 31st. In Mezam Division, about 19,000 new voters have put their name on the voter list. In the diaspora, Cameroonians in South Africa have been registering at their embassy in Pretoria. One of the opposition parties is also bracing up for its convention in the months ahead. Our correspondent Solomon Ababo now reports on current politicking in Mandela's country.
South Africa is one of the countries in the diaspora where political issues are taken seriously because of the history of the country. Within the Cameroonian community, there are four political parties which have implanted themselves in the major towns and cities. They include the ruling CPDM and the opposition Social Democratic Front, the Cameroon People's Party, and the Cameroon Renaissance Movement. These parties have executives and representatives in towns such as Pretoria, Durban, Cape Town, and especially Johannesburg. Most of the party militants meet once in a while, but for the SDF, which holds its regular meetings four times a year, CPDM militants converge, especially when they are visiting delegations from Cameroon. In an investigation conducted as the August 31 deadline for registration draws near, there is the impression that much seemed not to have been done. Questions to all the parties as to how many militants have registered and the challenges they faced remain unanswered at the time of filing in this report. We gathered from concordant sources that many who might have wanted to register did not own consular cards which legalized their relationship with the Cameroon High Commission in Pretoria. Other political actors blamed Elections Cameroon officials for limiting and centralizing the registration process only to the embassy in Pretoria and on Wednesdays. To them, ELECAM officials ought to move to the nine provinces of South Africa. It was quite difficult to get the exact number of registered voters from the embassy officials who never replied emails or written phone calls. It also remains unclear whether political parties sensitize their militants to register for upcoming elections. Reporting for Foundation Radio, I am Solomon Amabu in Johannesburg, South Africa.
Give me an account of your stewardship as a parliamentarian. I know that in the early days when I had to go around to take stocks of what people are doing on the field, I got to Ndu in particular, the mayor, the parliamentarian, they ran because he had nothing to show me. I got to Douala, Longtse, ran, he had nothing to show. I wanted to visit other areas, the people blocked me. Yet these are the young people that we've sent to parliament, sent to council, sent to this. I did not go to parliament to be fighting for positions in parliament with you. Neither did I go to Senate to be fighting for positions with people. Nor did I go to the council to fight or to be a mayor. I wanted the young people to grow. What is that? You see, my dog is answering you people. Yeah. So, we want all these people, these young people, to grow. Because we want to see the men and women of responsibility tomorrow. Men who can take this country and give an account. Sometimes you people behave in a way that I think that we just want to change Mr. Biya and maybe do worse things. I will not accept. That will not work well with us. We won't take it. We want young, responsible people who are willing to work dedicatedly. Some of you cannot even organize your electoral districts. Some of you don't belong to electoral districts. You come sit here. When you behave otherwise, they talk, you say, I'm a NEC member. A NEC member should be seen by the action, your activities on the field. Not by what you say. You are a NEC member. NEC what? My neck? Frundi's neck? The NEC member should be a responsible person. We want the young to grow in an honest way, not in a dishonest way. And the young in the SDF that I want to grow should grow in the honest way, not in dishonest ways. And if you are carrying dishonest activities to think that you can go to the population to say the young must grow, Frundi doesn't want the young to grow, I will stand up too on the podium and expose you.
This is the house beyond the hills and valleys of Bamenda. We bring you the best, lots of music, news, sports, and entertainment just for your relaxation. Foundation Radio. I like it. Foundation Radio, the voice of the voiceless. Foundation Radio, la voix de sans voix.
Yes, you are listening to News Extra on Foundation Radio. We are on FM 100 in Bamenda, northwest region of Cameroon. I am Mokun, Johnny Nelson, anchoring. The release of the General Certificate of Education GCE results marked the end of the 2015-2016 academic year. News Extra has decided to take a retrospect on the past academic year while prospecting into the next one. That is what you will get in the following interview with the Executive Secretary General of the Cameroon Teachers Trade Union, CATU, Tassan Wilfred.
Mr. Tassan Wilfred, you are the Executive Secretary General of the Cameroon Teachers Trade Union, CATU. The results of the 2015-2016 official exams have been released. Can we say all is well that ends well?
Well, for the children who made it, and for the teachers who scored good results, I think you could say that. But as usual, as has been the case over the years, the results, our satisfaction is mitigated.
Okay, why?
Because we would have loved all the kids to pass their exam. Unfortunately, not all of them did. For some of them, probably because they didn't put in enough of their own effort. For other children, as a trade union, we are not always satisfied when we don't have teachers on the field. And for quite a good number of them, I think for half the cases of the failure, the parents didn't do their own share of the work.
You are a teacher in the Northwest region. What accounts for the fact that the Northwest region lost its pole position on the classification table? I'm talking about the honors roll. For example, at the level of the baccalaureate, the Northwest region has been topping the chart for the past 10 years, but this year they dropped to the fourth position. And for the General Certificate of Education too, the results were not as shouting as has been the case in the past.
Yes, I think that those results will continue to drop until things are put in place.
But why only the Northwest region? That's what I'm asking.
Well, I won't immediately be able to answer that question. I know that some years in the past, one of the authorities at the Cameroon GCE board was alleged to have said he was going to do everything for the Northwest to hold that position. So I don't know whether that is this is part of his scheme or our children are getting dollar. I don't believe so because our colleagues are doing quite a formidable job.
Can we not assume that since Northwest teachers are known to be very involved in trade union activities, they may have privileged these at the detriment of the students?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. The teachers who are involved in trade union activities are the most duty-conscious teachers. They are those who produce the results, the best results.
The Minister of Trade, Luc Magloire Mbarga Tangana, has assured parents that the prices of textbooks will witness no increase and they will be available on time. Mr. Executive Secretary General, we have been used to getting that for the past years, but on the field, it is the contrary. What's your take on that?
Nobody will stop the minister from making political statements. We expect that those political statements should be matched with action. He says the books will be on the field on time, but the minister is not the publisher. The publishers sometimes have to go out of the country to print the books so that they can supply on the market at the kind of cost that the government wants. If government would make it in a way that these publishers can produce in Cameroon, then we'll have always be able to avoid the problems where their books are on the high seas when they should be on the market, or that they are stuck at the port because customs officers will not understand. The minister, well, we hope that the books will be on the market when they should be. And this is when the books should be on the market.
The 2016-2017 academic year is around. Any forewarning to teachers, students, administration?
If the education is a tripartite endeavor, we will only, as we have done in the past, continue to appeal to our colleagues who have been doing a formidable job, for the most of them doing more than they should. You know, there are teachers teaching in schools who have to sometimes teach as many as four subjects. There are schools that don't have even a single French teacher, even a single physics teacher, even a single chemistry teacher. There are schools like that. So we will continue to appeal to the teachers to put in their best. And to parents should understand that education, the education of their children, is the greatest investment that they can do for these children. And therefore, they should not, for any reason, give excuses not to satisfy the wants of their children as far as education is concerned. They need to buy books for the children. And for those communities where government has created schools and will not send teachers, we will appeal to parents to go the extra mile to continue to get PTA teachers to fill in the gap. And for our children, the head of state's Android generation, we want to appeal to them to concentrate on their bookwork. To concentrate on their bookwork, parents do quite a lot. The teachers put in quite a lot, and for most teachers, they put in extra hours. We need to see the children concentrate.
Now, we just talk about the Android generation, and we cannot end this interview without mentioning that, because the head of state just offered 500,000 laptops to university students, both the private and public sector, for the next academic year. That's reloaded the Mr. Executive Secretary General. What's the position of CATU?
The head of state is the head of state. He has advisors, and it is in his position to, from time to time, show some presidential largesse and magnanimity to the citizens. This time he has chosen the children. I think we want to commend him for that decision to reach out to the children. But we think, as a union, that the head of state was not properly advised in what kind of project to reach out to the students.
Okay.
He was not properly advised. We think that there are lots of things that he could have done for our universities that would have yielded a lot more fruit and created a lot of more impact, even politically, for him than these computers that are raising lots of eyebrows.
Okay, this question, Mr. Executive Secretary General of the Cameroon Teachers Trade Union, CATU, the Minister of Secondary Education, Jean Ernest Bibé, has taken a number of measures, you know, trying to fish out ghost teachers. He has also made a transfer of recent, maybe the transfer strangely on time. What is your appreciation of these recent measures taken by Jean Ernest Ngale Bibéhe, the Minister for Secondary Education?
Minister Bibéhe was appointed when we had our first meeting with him. He told us he has been sent to dismantle all the corruption rackets in the Ministry of Secondary Education. These transfers and 300 teachers who are asked to come and justify their transfer and appointment, we think that it is belated. But we think that the minister has started. We only hope that the system in which he belongs will allow him to go the whole mile. And therefore, we commend him, and we hope that this decision will help deter teachers who want to work only in particular places. You are posted to a teacher, you are a freshman from school, you are posted to some area because you have one uncle or the other, or because you can raise 300,000 francs, you go to Yaoundé and buy transfers. And schools in the suburbs, in the rural areas, are empty. We hope that this move will bring sanity into the ministry, and that the government will continue to sustain him, to support him to do that. Otherwise, as we have seen in the past, most ministers who have gone his route have seen their stay in their ministry cut short. We hope that God will be with him.
Yeah, this last question. Unlike the past years, we are not having any threats of boycott the start of this academic year. I want to say, do we assume that the social dialogue between the trade unions and the education authorities is dynamic, is flowing?
It's been quite a while since we had the threat of disruption of classes. We, at the level of the Cameroon Teachers Trade Union, we are following up some very important files concerning the education of our children. I'm talking about Anglophone children. And we are praying that government should address those issues. We always don't want to be pushed to the world to have to go on strike to solve problems. We think that our government can be very, very reasonable when issues have to be solved, they need to be solved. We have been asking government for teachers of the English subsystem. You know, the problem that we have been advocating again in the teacher training colleges in Bambili and Kumba, the francophonization of the University of Bamenda, and the fact these teachers are coming to teach Anglophone children in a language that is incomprehensible, and at the end of the day, they end up destroying the children. This is the one issue that might disrupt the school year, but we are hoping that we will not have to get to that.
That will be object of another interview. Thank you very much for always making yourself available to Foundation Radio's News Extra.
I want to thank Foundation Radio for always coming to us for issues like this.
Wilfred Tassang, Executive Secretary General of the Cameroon Teachers Trade Union, CATU. The 2016-2017 academic year is less than 3 weeks away. The administration, parents, students and pupils are all on their mark. Some appointments and transfers have already been carried out. The Minister of Trade, Luke Magloire Ntaganda Barga, has assured that textbooks will be available on time and will witness no price increase. Priscilla Nyinge has been sizing the level of preparedness in Bamenda. In the following paper, she talked to a bookshop proprietor and some parents.
This is another August, and very soon the back-to-school rush for books and other school material will be at its peak. While some parents prefer to buy well in advance to avoid the rush or price hikes, others prefer the delay and deadline for when the various schools release their book lists only upon registration as a means of helping them not to buy pirated books, which happens mostly when the books are released too soon. Let's hear from some parents how far they have gone acquiring textbooks for the children for the 2016-2017 school year.
I am a parent and I have many kids sent to school, and I thank God that the Minister of Secondary Education has just announced that we should start registration on the 15th, despite the fact that we are still waiting on the appointments of the principals. Because it is only during registration that we can have the book list to start buying textbooks for the children. For now, we are struggling to pick some few books, exercise books, ledgers, and the other accessories, but the prices are very expensive, and we are still waiting on salaries for August and Njangi houses to give us some money so that we can increase the speed of buying these books for the children.
The problem of choice, because right now, since the publication of the new book is not yet out, and the price list, I face it difficult. But for now, I'm picking up some other writing materials.
Yes, I don't start buying exercise books then for now, and I will start buying the other one maybe this month, and like textbooks maybe if you start with them.
We also visited Mojota Bookshop to find out how sales are going and if they are already in possession of the textbooks demands for the 2016-2017 academic year.
I'm Kongu Tamufo from Mojota Bookshop. Talking about availability and sales operation for this coming academic year, I think we are prepared. And though all the stocks have not yet arrived, at least we have some reasonable stock to start with and really started selling. So I think we have no problem.
Are the parents shopping?
Yeah, started selling. For example, you came, you saw people on the counter. So we started selling. And you see, it's been... This should be the seventh year that we'll be doing promotion with government, at least to poverty. In terms of this, I think we really have the best. It's not just doing publicity, but with best prices, because we've decided to cooperate with the government to at least encourage parents.
One of the books that has been approved by the National Book Council for the youth next academic year is An English Grammar and Writing Course by Dr. Fontaine Neba and Taba Emmanuel, lecturers at the University of Boya. In the following interview, Dr. Fontaine Neba enlightens potential users on the content and availability of the publication. Dr. Fontaine Neba, you are a lecturer at the University of Boya. You are also the author of An English Grammar and Writing Course, a new edition, as you precise, that has been approved by the Cameroon Education Authorities to be used in the syllabus for both the secondary, technical, and teacher training education. What is the content of An English Grammar and Writing Course all about?
Thank you very much. I think I'm happy to be here to talk about this work, which is a production of the University Group for English Language and Educational Research. It took us about 7 years to come up with this book after research in schools, testing teacher competencies and student proficiency, and we were able to come up with the book. So for the first time, we have a book that encapsulates most of the things that students will ever need to know about the English language. It contains grammar, it contains writing and vocabulary. And we know that grammar is the essence of the language. You cannot write effectively if you don't have a mastery of grammar. And you cannot handle grammar effectively if you don't have a mastery of vocabulary. So the book has those three key elements which students can use to build on and enhance their proficiency.
The English language is now being written as a single independent subject, as in the GCE A level. That was not the case in our days.
Yes.
But it seems there was, or there is, no textbook that fits the syllables for the A-level.
Yes, I think what most educationists or educators need to realize is that for English to be introduced at the advanced level, we had to meet a certain level of preparation, which was not done. Now, we needed to prepare teachers for such a change, but it seems as if the change took most people by surprise, and there was now a need for us to adjust the books that we had to suit the new change. But luckily enough, the product that we have put in the, at the disposal of parents and students, parents, teachers and students, is a kind of study that was sponsored by the GCE Board, the Ministry of Secondary Education, and the Faculty of Arts of the University of Boya. At the time we were carrying out this study, it was because we noticed that students came into the university from high school with a lot of deficiencies in English. So we were trying to figure out how we could shore up those deficiencies, how we could heal, how we could treat, how we could handle those deficiencies. And coincidentally, it turned out that we produced a book that could provide a solid foundation for students from 4 right up to the university.
So the book, An English Grammar and Writing Course, has been approved for which classes?
It has been approved for Form 4, Form 5, Lower 6th, Upper 6th. And the one major thing, and I think I wish to commend the National Book Council, is that it was also introduced in GTTC, government teacher training colleges. Yes, so because if teachers don't have the needed competence to be able to teach English, then the foundation is not. So I believe that by giving teachers in GTTCs the opportunity to develop their competencies, we are also taking care of children in primary school.
Is the book only for academic purposes? Because I don't think some of us parents, our English too is that good.
Well, but I think that the book is a family book. That this book is this book tells, it's like where there is no teacher. I think another way we could title the book is where there is no English teacher. The owner of an English grammar and writing course can conveniently teach himself English if he has the ability to read some English, because it even teaches pronunciation. There are some words like what we normally pronounce as vineyard is actually vineyard, all right? What we actually call yacht is actually yacht. And all those things, we provide the necessary guide in the book to show either students or teachers how they can go about it. So, and there are lots of other words. It contains a spelling guide to let you know words that take E before I or I before E.
It's some sort of first aid in English.
Yes, it's a kind of first aid in English. In fact, we would prefer to say that it is where there is no English teacher. And it contains idioms. It contains idioms and their meanings. Now, the idiomatic expressions are one area in language learning which have to do with culture. If you don't have a mastery of one of the elements of language mastery are the mastery of culture. So if you don't know what to say in particular circumstances, then you may have difficulties communicating effectively. And we have tried as much as possible to address that in the English language, in the English grammar and writing course.
It's already back to school. Are the books available?
Yes, the books are available. The books are available for people who need the books already, they can get them from Tafora Bookshop at City Chemist Roundabout. Tafora Bookshop. Here in Bamenda, Simplicity Bookshop. And in the days ahead, we have other bookshops that have indicated that they would like to have the book because there seems to be a high demand for the book. We will consider other bookshops. So it is an Anukam publication, and we expect that as the book comes out, as people buy the book, their children should be able to make tangible progress in the English language.
Are they affordable?
Well, the books are affordable. It is a 314 page book. It's quite voluminous. I wouldn't praise myself, but I think the description we have had from other experts who have read the book is that it is unputdownable. It is interesting to read. It is a handbook. It is a guide, and it goes for 6,000 francs in the bookshop.
Yes, textbooks are important, even though our Android generations rather prefer their cell phones. Makebe Jetrut, ASMAC's journalism student on internship here at Foundation Radio, had a key to our mailbox and shall be reading the letters received after this break. Letter number one is from G. Cynthia, writing from Bambili, and she is not happy with the number of mentally handicapped persons roaming our already dirty streets.
Dear News Extra, I hate to say this, but it pains me a lot each time I see it. The number of mad people on the streets of Bamenda are increasing. You can hardly walk on the streets without seeing mad people of both sexes, be it at the commercial avenue, food market, meta quarters, and other places. You will find them talking or arguing with themselves, putting themselves in danger, looking for trouble or even putting other people in danger. I really wonder, is it that there are no facilities or organizations that can help these people by tracing and curing their mental illness? Or is it that they are being thrown out of the psychiatric home since their case could be, I quote, incurable? Or is it that they escape from the psychiatric centers each time they are taken there for treatment?
Augustine Puoge-Hale is a regular contributor. Let's discover his worry in today's edition.
Dear News Extra, we worry each day that we are not moving on well in this country. The reason is simple. Some of us are copying just the wrong things. The issue of chop a chop and who well is dealing horribly with this country. Because X did this wrong and went free, Y says, I will also do same. Very bad examples to copy. This country is being destroyed only by a few greedy fellows. May God help us all.
We hope God will help us. And Atem Jerome of Fonta Street in our last mail strongly feels Cameroonians should also accept blame for the poor state in which this country now finds itself.
Dear News Extra, I don't like it when people complain of potholes or bad roads and then blame the government for not having done anything about it. If the government were to employ foreigners to take care of road construction, citizens would complain and ask why foreigners should be employed when our own brothers and sisters can do the job for us. When the government yield to this complaint and employ our brothers and sisters for the job, they end up not doing a good job, not because they are not talented, but because they are selfish. They would save up some of the money given for the work for their own personal use and then buy cheap construction material, which would not do. And when the roads turn to something else, after a few years, the same people blame the government. It's high time we stop blaming the government for our own greediness but ourselves.
Keep your opinion coming. We are the voice of the voiceless, and your opinion certainly always counts. Our email remains the same, radio.foundation@yahoo.com, and our telephone contacts 672-53-3990 or 695-56-8480. Wonjad Leslie, at this point, comes in with the week's press review.
We begin this week's press review with the Times Journal of 16 August, which says CPGM Section President Fongi Haley Ubango has been in detention at the Bamenda Judiciary Police for about a week now due to a scam discovered at the Ministry of Finance where he was involved. Chantal Biya's absence from the country for about 3 months is still creating a lot of controversy in Yaoundé. This story is found on page 5 of the Times Journal. Nicole Halley, head of Cameroon's Bar Association, has distanced himself from the campaign for the presidency in 2018, saying that he is a natural person and does not belong to a political party, writes the Independent Observer. Some 2,000 youths, friends and sympathizers have written a letter to the Prime Minister seeking for solutions for Amadou Danpolo to stay in ESU. Some people were forced to stay in the land which had been allocated to Amadou Danpolo, which was against the law. Onto the Eden newspaper, some four workers of the Bisek Bank were arrested for over 600 billion franc CFA theft. Former Minister of Finance Esimi Meunier says he has a record of all embezzlers of state funds. According to the Eden newspaper, Esimi Meunier was supposed to appear before the Special Criminal Court on the 1st of August 2016, but failed to do so. Those were some of the major stories which caught the attention of the papers this week. Take the rendezvous next week on what the papers will have to say.
Remember to go get a copy of any paper of your choice for more information. A week of deeds and misdeeds monitored by Lanze Vela, who now appreciates in News Extra's scoreboard.
We are scoring low all the leaders of the Cameroon delegation to the Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. It has been revealed that the debacle of the Cameroonian athletes that took part in the games could be as a result of mismanagement of their bonuses by the delegation heads. Hassan Damjikam, one of Cameroon's boxers at the Games, revealed that athletes were not paid their training as well as match bonuses, a thing that played adversely on their morale, which scored top officials of that delegation extremely low. And with score high, the Bamenda City Council for the recent partnership agreement signed on the development of public open spaces and market spaces. It is unlike any other partnership agreement, as it is rare to come by, buttressed by the fact that it is the first of its kind in the nation. Bamenda, like many other places around the world, has been facing problems such as lack of proper housing and growth of slums, inadequate and outdated infrastructure, be it roads, public transport, water, sanitation or electricity. With this agreement, the city will subsequently boast of socially and environmentally sustainable human settlements, development and, why not, the subsequent achievement of adequate shelter for all, which scored the Bamenda City Council extremely high.
For once, the Bamenda City Council is scoring a pass mark. Thanks very much for being there for Foundation Radio. As partners, we shall forever strive to respect our own part of the engagement, providing the best of information, education, and entertainment. After all, a person is a person because of other persons. Same time next week, I am yours, Mokun Johnny Nelson. Accept my blessed regards.